Hi, I'm Ian Barrett.
And I'm Erin Hayes. We are from Media Boss, and we are your hosts of Business Beat.
Who do we have today for our guest?
We have Julia Marconi, president, founder, and pastry chef of Mrs. Marconi's.
What does she do?
She takes scratch-made ingredients, and she makes, among other things, ice cream.
Well, I don't think there's anything more interesting to talk about than ice cream, and I actually think this is a really great topic for Business Beat because she's a sole proprietor, right? She started this business from scratch. She's in Worcester, and she's basically going to share her story of researching, developing, taking to market, training, basically her entire journey as a business person and what she's had to go through to make it happen in Worcester. She's got some pretty interesting kind of twists to her career. Why don't you share what you know?
Well, she says that she is a serial career changer. She mentioned that she was a firefighter, and then, you know, just looking at her profile, it looks like she started a business to feed first responders, and she's, you know, done everything from work at Wegmans to now doing this incredible new business with scratch-made ingredients.
Well, she's also a great partner of WICN as well, and if you haven't met her yet, you will hear more about her because she's definitely participating a lot with the station. So we're really excited to have her on. I think for anybody listening to the show, please, you know, remember her name, and if you see her out, which apparently is pretty much everywhere for this fall period, go get a scoop of ice cream or go get a confection and enjoy her work because she is a truly dedicated, I want to say like, she's an entrepreneur, but she's a bit of an artist as well, right?
She is. I mean, I think the term is foodpreneur, and it includes that. And she has some really fantastic tips, I think, for small business owners, particularly small business owners starting in Worcester.
All right, and here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Business Beat 2.0, the reanimation, the rejuvenation of the Business Beat Show. We're here with David from WICN. This is Erin from Media Boss and Julia from Mrs. Marconi's Confections Bakery.
Dairy-based desserts right now.
Okay. We're here to talk about all the great things that are going on in Worcester. And of course, we can't talk about great things without talking about great foods. And this is why we're here. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing.
I just incorporated my business very recently, and I'm working out of the Worcester Regional Food Hub. And I'm making my products and doing pop-ups all over the city right now in search of a home. I will be dropping anchor here. I'm hoping in downtown Worcester. I think that would fit my product and my demographic very well. I'm learning as I go along. I'm starting small, and I'm just building my business organically, and I'm putting it out there for the world to see. I'm putting it on Instagram, Facebook. I'm not afraid to fall on my face and make mistakes and talk about it.
So you touched on it briefly, but why Worcester? You said it fits your demographic, but why?
My husband and I moved here 5 years ago, and it was very different. And we were actually renting at the time, and I noticed, I lived in New York City for a year when I went to pastry school, and I got to see the boroughs, and I hear about the history of everything. And something in Worcester struck me as being very Brooklyn-like. You know, everybody kept on doubting, oh, there's supposed to be this renaissance, and oh, yeah, we've heard that before. And I said, well, I'm not from Worcester, so I kind of believe it. I'm not a naysayer. We're here forever now because we purchased a home last year. And I said, okay, this is where I'm going to drop anchor. So I'm a resident. And I'm now a business owner. I met with economic development. I met with Sean Rainford from the Food Hub. We talked about my vision. I started off saying, hey, you know, this is our fourth summer here, and there's nowhere to go get really good ice cream, like fresh-made ice cream, something funky, something, you know, excellent. And everybody said, yeah, you know, you're right. And ironically, at the same time, I was getting called. I'd put my name on the waiting list at Penn State University for ice cream college. Okay. So there is an ice cream college.
Wow. Okay.
And then looking at that whole thing.
Did you graduate magna scoop laude?
Oh.
Oh, boy, that was a good one.
I wish I had that clip
there go the ratings.
Before I went.
There go the ratings. There goes the audience.
We have to vote
it doesn't
on it.
Matter what we say now. The show's over.
Sometimes
they just write themselves.
We had to vote on a class name. We could have done that, but we had Sweet Dairy. Dairy air. But anyway, so in looking at that whole program, there's an entire food science and safety program in dairy. And I just, who at the age of 51 doesn't want to commute to Penn State University and just re-immerse themselves? So I took, from September to June, I commuted to Penn State, and I got the whole program done. Actually, it was like a dual certificate, food safety and science. So I'm trained now in cultured dairy, artisan cheese making, sanitation, FSMA, which is a Food Safety Modernization Act, a lot of food science, the microbiome, and then the ice cream.
You're a good person to know. I'm going to stop you right there, because first of all, A, I want to congratulate you on not listening to the naysayers, number one. Number two, we just, in last week's show, we talked about how Worcester is like New York. And then number three, Worcester is famous for seltzer, hot dogs, and now we're bringing your dairy mastery to this operation?
This is kind of the vegan age, but what I have found, and again, I lived in New York City for a year, and I mean, I went to pastry school, again, career changer. I was 46 years old when I decided to move to New York and go to pastry school because, you know, there's the vegan movement, and then there are the people who don't wish to be vegan, or maybe they're vegetarian, but what they want is they want quality dairy, and they want a good, honest product, and that's kind of what my mantra is. I want to put a good, honest product out there, and we have all these dairy farms in Massachusetts, really close to Worcester, why not use them? It's no secret. There's a dairy surplus in this country. Dairy farmers are going out of business at a rate of 3 a day in just Wisconsin alone. So I don't want to see that happening in Massachusetts. And we're all, everybody's hurting, every state. So why not take every value-added product that a dairy farmer can make and put my pastry spin on it, make it look really pretty, and just put some great flavors in there, and the fresh bounty that we have in the spring and in the fall.
Well, that's amazing, because what she's actually talking about is a lot of what drove the craft brew revolution in Massachusetts, too, because there was a legislation that said if you buy from local farms, you can qualify as a craft brewery, and it's a completely different licensing process than, you know, big beer used to be. And so a lot of the breweries that are out here buy from local farms. They've got a restaurant attached to their bar. They buy their fruits, grains, like the things that go into their products. And I think this sounds like an extension of the same activity.
Our worlds are not far apart. Every time I meet someone who does brewing or even winemaking, but breweries especially, our worlds are just not far apart. My vision is eventually my shop will be a mini dairy plant, because I want to produce. When I say I make cheesecake, I make my cheese. And then from that cheese, I make the cheesecake. So I'm doing an event this weekend, and everything's documented. I got certificates of analysis. I can tell you the exact strain that I, you know, culture the cheese in and the cream. But the cow was milked last Thursday for the cheesecake you'll be eating tomorrow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds so cool.
So, and my whole thing is that my product, Tortoni, I'm doing it because I don't have a $12,000 batch freezer machine right now. So I'm actually doing everything by hand. And the FDA defines ice cream as being agitated while being frozen. So I don't have that machine. It is truly Tortoni. This is Giuseppe Tortoni back in the 1800s, started making ice cream in Paris. And this is the way he made ice cream. So you infuse the air before you freeze it. And if you like ice cream, you're going to love Tortoni. And the ratios are a little bit different. And the texture is a little bit different, but I really think people try it and they say, you know what, stick to the Tortoni. I don't even want the ice cream.
That's a definer right there. It separates you from everybody else because you're doing it that way. And I want to give some historical perspective that ice cream was an absolute revolution in the United States, and entire social activities were built around that. The ice cream social was a way for people to raise money. It was a way to bring communities together.
Yes.
So ice cream is actually a wonder food when it comes to...
I think we can achieve world peace, Ian, with ice cream.
Well, look at Ben and Jerry's. Look at, talk about taking the game of ice cream and going to the next level with it.
Yeah.
It's clear. Dave, what are your thoughts?
Something that you mentioned earlier I want to touch back on. So Worcester has put a lot of emphasis on startup culture and creating opportunities for startup companies to grow and thrive here. With a lot of support. You mentioned that you're working out of the food hub right now.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the food hub and what it's like to work with and collaborate perhaps with other entrepreneurs that are developing their own culinary programs and working in a lab like that?
I'm learning a lot, and I love that. I meet all these people that have these new businesses, and I love to see the passion. Mm-hmm. It's contagious. Talk about the culture. I'm putting the culture into culture.
You guys are friends.
Yeah.
The puns are just
going to be dad jokes.
Everyone thinks it's ice cream.
I know. Yeah. But it's wonderful because everybody's got their story. You have to respect everybody's story. Artisans, there's something different about us. It's not about the buck, clearly. We sweat and pay way too much to make our product to care about the dollar, seriously. But it, the collaboration, first of all, Sean Rainford is so knowledgeable. And he runs a tight ship. What he has to deal with all of us. Everyone's got a big type A personality. Okay, seriously. If you want to go into the food business and you're demure, you're sunk. Yeah. You got people with different levels of sanitation training. I mean, I go in and I'm just a little militant about it. I know that. And poor Sean has to deal with my text messages. But then you have other people that, you know, you'll come in and, you know, they do things a different way. And he's got a lot to do, but he keeps everything. The program is running so smooth. You know, everything, you know that any product made out of the food hub is safe. Mm-hmm. And people are being creative and they're thinking about it, what they're going to be putting into and the food and the cost and whatever. So I think, it's really wonderful. And to see people at all these different levels, all these different education levels, all these different experience levels has been a huge teaching experience for me. And there's a class going through right now that he's teaching to do, you know, ServSafe certification and just get their feet wet. How do you do a food business? And I've done a couple lectures. And I love to be able to share my craft with people.
So we're just going to take a moment to get into some of the detail about the studio that we're in, Studio 50 at WICN. This is what you can find for content on the website, so I'm just going to read this out to you and talk a little bit about why it's so important. Studio 50 is located at WICN Public Radio at 50 Portland Street in Worcester, in the heart of the artistically emerging Grid and Theater District, and is now open for business. Full digital recording studio with Avid C24 mixing board and Pro Tools, 24-hour access, acoustic grand piano, and state-of-the-art acoustically engineered live room that can be used for performance or recording. This exciting location resides inside WICN Public Radio, taking you from conception to broadcast possibilities. Producers, engineers, coaches are all on staff. Recording training is available. Take your next project to Studio 50 and be inspired. That's where we're at, and that's what's so great about this particular room. Everybody has a podcast. You can have a podcast, and you can come here, and you can get that professionally, as opposed to going to one of the other studios where you pay for a fee, you record in a room, and they make you take it home and edit it. They'll actually come here and put an engineer in the room with you and help you get everything set up. So it makes it so much simpler and really retains the quality control that you want on a podcast. So if you're thinking about podcasting, and you're thinking about creating content, and you're thinking about recording music, give them a call here at WICN and let them know. All right, well, now back to our interview.
Absolutely.
I'm unfamiliar with the Food Hub. How do you get involved, and what does it take to become a part of that?
Okay, well, first of all, Google Sean Rainford. No, Google the Worcester Regional Food Hub, and they have a very good explanation on the website. So you fill out an application. You have to have your ServSafe certification. You have to have a plan, obviously.
A business plan or just a plan?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I have a business plan, but I don't know. I guess Sean would take everybody on a case-by-case basis, sure. Because not everybody knows how to do a business plan, which what I love about it is being connected with them and the Chamber of Commerce and the Small Business Development Center at Clark University. You're going to find somebody to help you with that plan. So it could be kind of like a thumbnail sketch,
sure.
You know, an idea of what you want to do. Sean will help you go from point A to point B and beyond.
Can I just say this amazing amount of support?
It is.
Right. It is.
But how critical is that?
We have a client that is part of Mass Innovation, and it's been 3 years that he's been doing that. And this is the level of attention that he gets at that. And in our community, we have, like, obviously business development, but this is an unprecedented. This is amazing amount of support.
He's like dad. I mean, we did the Out to Lunch music series, and, you know, he gets there, sets up the little tent and the tables, and then I have my things that I have to, and I'm thinking I have to hike everything and set everything up. I go move my car, I come back, everything's all set up, and he's straightening
wow.
out
wow.
the, you know. I'm like, wow. I've done events. I used to do fairs, festivals, farmers markets many years ago. And I'm telling you, it's like this safety net that the Food Hub provides for you.
Wow.
And the networking is huge. I did 3 events. I was in business for a month doing 3 events. And one of the other people that I was doing an event with from the Food Hub, she says, oh, did you hear about this place? And, you know, did you hear about this place? And I sent out feelers to every reference. And even, you know, showed up with, like, little samples with my little thermoelectric cooler one day. And everybody who I talked to, they booked me. So I am now booked every weekend until the end of this year. I have October 19th available. That's the only day I have available if anybody needs me.
You book now, so.
I know. So it's the networking. It's the support. I think the sanitation program is huge, and it has to be. Nobody wants to make anybody sick. We're doing this because we want to share something really cool with people. So we don't want that to backfire on us, and we don't want any claims.
Well, once again, to the just like brewing. The same thing, the science behind how these local guys brew their stuff. It's amazing. They're scientists, essentially, with hops and yeast and water and mixing it all together, and it's phenomenal. So obviously the care, the craft that goes into it is what makes you an artisan.
Right.
I'm actually interested in how you guys become aware of what she was doing.
So it's funny. So Julie came on the morning show, Morning Vibe Time, with Michelle Wilson a couple of months ago. You and Michelle know each other off the air in real life, as we call it.
Well, she's a musician. My husband's a musician.
And so after you were on that day, Michelle marched down to my office, as she does, and says, here's her card. You should do something with her. We want to involve her in the stage. She's great. And we had a conversation. So I don't want to give anything away because with this... it's still a few months out, but I think you'll be doing some more with WICN
and
early 2020, more food-related business.
I believe they're rebranding it the Ice Cream Network.
But there is, curious on a follow-up on the food hub piece of this, because it's great to have a food hub outlet like that where people can go if you're a foodpreneur, so to speak, and you, whether it's ice cream or cheesecake or whatever food stuff you're making, but a lot of times people don't realize the business side of the business and whether insurance, taxes, all the regulatory pieces you have to file. How helpful has it been to be a member of that in the Chamber of Commerce to navigate what can be a very tricky pathway to making sure you're compliant with all of the various elements that go into running a business side of a food business?
Well, if I can plug the Chamber of Commerce for a second, because real life experience, I've been planning this for well over a year, but I really got serious a year ago May. So that was of 2018. And again, the Red Sox didn't announce anything. Things weren't, we're still in the Renaissance, naysayer. So I reached out to economic development and I was doing everything. So I'm going through school and I'm just saying, okay, well, I have this plan, but I don't have a way. How do I do this, and that? I went ahead and I just jumped in, called the Chamber of Commerce and said, can I join even though I'm not legal yet? This is what I'm going to be doing. I said, sure. The minute I joined, that's where things exploded because they have the business after hours. So it was networking. They have Connect for Success. They have three of those groups, which is kind of like a BNI, but it's, I think, better. And just people, the minute they hear Pastry Chef, you're sitting, 35 people sitting around this round table. And
my ears pricked up.
Pastry Chef. did you bring any samples? they wanted...
You're a likable person.
So the two most popular, Kristen Luna told me afterwards, the two most popular people in that room were you and the refuse guys. And I said, I need the refuse guys in the cars. I mean, people, like, what do you do when you have to, remove a lot of stuff from a property? Everybody's referring to him. But everybody wanted to find out more about what I was doing. And unfortunately, at that point, I wasn't even incorporated. And I knew what I kind of wanted to do, but I didn't want to say, hey, I'm going to be an artisan ice cream shop because I'm going to get pigeonholed into ice cream. I'm a pastry chef. Now, you're going to open a bakery. No, bakery is totally different. Pastry chefs don't open bakeries. So I was kind of in the middle of figuring out what I wanted, the true track, the direction, how I was going to make it happen. And I just said, I knew my focus was going to be dairy. And then just all the networking started to happen with the insurance and the attorneys and all the legal stuff. And then, more help with my business plan. I was getting kind of stalled on that.
We're going to take a little second out of this interview to talk about why local radio is so important and what makes a station like WICN so important to a place like Worcester. Radio is an oasis for a community. As we move forward in technology, as we move forward in our social media and our tablets and our phones, one of the oldest technologies that exists is actually radio. And it's something that your grandparents and great-grandparents listen to. It's what brought them together. And it's wonderful that in this day and age, this is still a tool that a community can use to stay connected. What's great about the programming here at this station is that they have the full gamut of music with the full gamut of topics with DJs from all over that bring real expertise to it. And they also reach out to the community and become part of the events that go on. In the case of Arts Worcester, they're directly involved with some of the events that are happening, and you'll see more involvement going forward. So you need to get involved with WICN, and you should tell WICN what you're interested in so they can promote you. That's what it's for. It's really rare
to have a pulpit like this or a soapbox like this or a place to speak from. And that's what makes this station so wonderful. And it's something that as we go forward becomes more rare, and it needs to be treasured by this community. So the fact that we're here talking to business leaders, in this case Arts Worcester, about what they're doing and sharing this information with you, you can be doing this too. If you'd like to be on this program, please let us know. You can reach us here at WICN, and we'd love to have you and have you share your thoughts and share your inspiration for other people to become part of the Worcester community. And now back to our interview.
From a business standpoint, the fact that you go out in a cart and physically bring your product to market every single day is actually really amazing, because it's social media and mobile media and billboarding and everything all at the same time. You're actually face forward with your product in front of people. And big companies try to do this all the time. They want to bring their coffee, their soda, their foodstuffs out to the festival or to the concert. And here you are physically doing it all the time. So in a weird way, you might think that you're doing this grassroots, but it's actually like the ultimate way to bring product to market.
You know what, Ian? I think I needed to hear that, because there are really, really tough weeks, yes, like this one. And there's moments where you just sit here and you think, oh, is this, I mean, because I know how hard I work to get my product. I'm on the cusp now, like when this next event is over, I'm getting my workers' comp insurance. I have to hire people.
Right.
It's scary.
Oh.
Yeah, but I have seminars and I have people, you know, with the Chamber of Commerce and with SBDC and whatever. And the food hub is, oh, we got a guy for you. I'm like, you do? That's wonderful. The whole thing of having 9 colleges here in town is very helpful. This summer was probably the first summer that my husband and I, we were driving downtown on a Sunday afternoon. It wasn't a ghost town. We couldn't find parking.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, and then there was a lot of college students that were staying. A couple of people came to my first couple events, and they says, oh, I'm, you know, at Becker College or whatever. And I said, you didn't go home? She says, no, I stayed here. I can't wait for my friends to come back. I'm going to tell them all about your product.
What a great point. I'm going to jump in there. David, people are living here year-round now.
Yeah.
It definitely was a ghost town in September. Just, you know,
yes,
people roll
sure
in and roll right out. Yep. And the sidewalks got rolled up with
I live
them
right near, yes, Worcester State University. And, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, yeah, it would just from the end of the semester and the beginning of May until they came back in September, it was very quiet. Now they're there year round. They're renting houses in my neighborhood.
Wow.
For better or for worse.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it's great that people are, especially at that age, are investing in Worcester. They're investing in whatever they're putting down roots now, you know, as young adults, and seeing the potential here. Like, you know, I don't have to go to Boston and pay twice the amount for housing every month. I can actually live a high quality of life here, and there's arts and culture and great food and things to do here that suit my lifestyle. You know, that's that renaissance we talked about earlier. That's what's happening here. And it's great to see a business community like this supportive, because again, in a startup world, whether you're a startup, you know, computer company or a food company, the labor and the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it, and it really is a labor of love, as I'm sure you can attest.
Yes.
How important has that community aspect been in keeping your drive
huge
going in all those moments you touch
huge
upon, where it's like, oh my God, I'm in tears, I don't want to, this is so,
yeah,
hard.
I go to these events and I'm like, nobody knows who I am yet, you know, who's gonna buy my product, but I've got this cute little fiberglass cow that I put out there. It draws everybody in. People just come up and hug the cow. Kids all want to touch the cow, take pictures. So that starts the conversation.
Yeah.
So the minute we can start talking, I think it's important for me to let them to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
And to be personable and welcoming, I think that's essential. When you talk about the community and what's changing here, I was stranded at JFK Airport on a weather delay, and there was a girl who was, she just bought a house by Worcester Poly, and she was in her late 20s. And so she told me she wasn't from around here. She came here for college, got a job, and she loves it, and she's going to stay. And this was last year. So I think that it's the transients that are kind of we're the solid believers. So I hope that the,
you're right, because they're not biased. So I hear this all the time, because if, for people who've lived here their whole lives, that they've heard this multiple times. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yes.
So then now they're wincing from the blow, and you never heard it that many times. So you had no choice but to believe in it.
Correct.
And you have the faith, and that's what makes it exciting.
I also lived in two major cities. I'm from Chicago. I lived in New York, and now I come here to Worcester. Boston's a little hard to navigate around, and you really have to decide what neighborhood you're going to settle in. Where Worcester was just like opportunity and elbow room, but then just all the different cultures and the ethnicities, I'm comfortable. I am right at home here because I'm used to diversity. And I love that people, whether they can speak English or not, they're just like drawn to that cow. They're drawn to a dairy product. That's my
demographic. Who doesn't like cheesecake?
Yes.
Well, there's no more universal language than food, and especially something like ice cream or like cake or pie or anything. I mean, it's just happiness all wrapped up in there.
Yes, it's the central piece to so many cultures. I mean, food is what ties us together.
Yeah. And it's not like it's turkey. It is like the best part of the meal.
If I can just say one thing about any kind of ice cream or any kind of dairy, I traveled to Minneapolis to try Izzy's. I went to Cincinnati to see the people at Grater's. I really did my homework on this one, Campanari's in the Chicago area. And fresh ice cream, even if it's not done perfectly, I was very obsessed with it. It has to be perfect. No crystals, this, that, the other thing. And my roommate from pastry school finally just said, forget perfection. We like that artisan thing that it is not perfect. It does not look like it came out of a expensive machine. So if it's fresh, it's better. Okay, you can get the perfect ice cream in the freezer brand, but boy, I can taste it's probably 6 months old or more. But when I go someplace and they're spinning their own ice cream, even if it's not perfect, it tastes so much better. Now that I've been trained in sensory evaluation, I'm like, oh, wow. It was very eye-opening. So even if someone doesn't make their own mix, as long as it's fresh, and what I just love about it is that if we're going to be taking dairy from all the area farms, we're helping the area farmers as well. And we have to keep that going in Massachusetts.
Well, cows get milked every day. And so
Twice or three times a day.
You're turning that product around, making it fresh, and putting it back out there, which is the way it was supposed to be to begin with.
Exactly. And I don't get into the arguments about, the different temperatures of pasteurization. I know what I use, and everybody's got all these, crazy, not supported by really good science theories. A lot of the stuff we debunked in schools, I have a little bit of pushback from that, but not too much. If you put, a nice, honest product out there, make it look nice, make it clean, people are going to say, how come this tastes so much better than somewhere else that I went?
Well, I'm going to leave with the honest product because this is exactly what we're talking about. It is an honest product. And I think let's just, before we go, I want to know how we can find you and how we can sample these amazing wares.
So I'm on Facebook. If you search Mrs. Morricone's on Facebook, you can find me. I'm going to have all my events listed there. I'm on Instagram at Mrs.Morricone's. I'm going to have a website very soon. I'm hoping I have bricks and mortar very soon.
Mm. So, we hope so, too.
Yeah. But, for right now, I'm just building my base. I want to say after the second event, I had 400 followers on Facebook. So people are interested. I know that I have an audience, and that's wonderful. Right now, Facebook, Instagram, eventually you can look up Mrs. Morricone's, and I'll have a website. But all my contact information is on both of those sites.
Well, that's fantastic. So we're going to include all the contact information in the show byline. But thank you for coming to Business Beat. And obviously, we look forward to seeing you again very, very soon.
Thank you for having me. This has been wonderful.
This is great. Thank you.
Wow, that was a really great show. She's a great lady, and what an amazing product. She puts a lot of effort into that.
She definitely does, and I love the way she's just gone at her business, going out networking as much as she possibly can, seeing what draws people to her product. And then I love the bit about her giving up that idea of perfection.
I think it's about give the people what they want.
Exactly,
She realizes that. And I also think the resources that she mentions with the Chamber of Commerce and then the Food Hub.
Yeah, the Worcester Regional Food Hub sounds incredible. Just the resources that they have, the education program that they have, and the support.
Yeah, we're going to have to get them on the show, obviously, to talk about that. But obviously, a wonderful long-term benefit to the community when you can support businesses like this and create an economy with craft food. That's amazing.
It's amazing. They're able to take businesses and connect them to the farmers. They're helping both burgeoning businesses and established farmers just grow their business.
Well, that's amazing. Thanks for joining us on Business Beat this week, and we can't wait to see you next week. Once again, I'm Ian Barrett.
And I'm Erin Hayes.
Thanks for listening, and we hope that if you like this show or you have any ideas for future shows, if you know a business, if you are a business, if you've got something to add, please reach out to us. We want to be a part of your community, and we want to bring your message to Worcester as a whole through WICN.
Thank you so much for listening. We can't wait for next time.